Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, everyone. This is Professor Gary Lee with the AMAA Masters Radio and Pioneer Show, coming to you from North Carolina by way of Texas, and tonight from Las Vegas. Las Vegas, Nevada, where we have a special interview tonight with the giant killer, Mr. John Nativitad. But before we get to John and John Nativitad, I'd like to have some things to talk about. As always, we feel that coming to your home every Tuesday night is a very special time, and we really appreciate it. We appreciate you letting us talk about sport karate and about the history. We did something all year long, and we worked on it, and we kind of climaxed a couple weeks ago in Washington, D.C., at Dennis Braun's fabulous U.S. Capitals Championship. And Honty Jesse Bowen introduced the who's who in martial arts, and the Legends book particularly. And this book is really an incredible book that talks about the history of individuals who made karate here in America. And people that you thought you knew, people that you've never heard of before, and people that you are fans of are in this book. If you'd like to purchase this book, you can go to Amazon, or you can go to Barnes & Noble, or Century Martial Arts. But I would rather go through the person responsible for it, which is Honty Jesse Bowen, and you call him directly at 919-618-8075. And a special note from Honty Bowen: in the process of doing this, which is a tremendous amount of work between him and Mr. Corley, who put this together with the help of many people, sometimes they made some errors where maybe you didn't get your book. Well, they're working on that as we speak. So they're going to remedy that, and all you got to do is call Mr. Bowen, and he'll get your book to you as soon as possible. I'd like to also make a shout out to Steve Nasty Anderson, who officially this weekend went in as a history general for the Sport Karate Museum. He spent quite a few moments with me, sharing with me about the Blitz and what he's doing now in Canada, in Ottawa. He's available for seminars, and the museum is going to be setting those up in the near future. This gentleman that I'm fixing to bring on was known as the Giant Killer. And Giant Killer means that it was in a time when there wasn't really weight divisions. There was lightweight and middleweight. And so a lightweight that could be weighed 150 pounds had to fight a 300-pound animal like Monster Man Everett Eddy or Johnny Smiley Lee. And John was known as someone who had superior technique, and also he had a patented spin wheel kick. Now, he was an original black belt under Chuck Norris. He's worked up to his fifth, and then recently he's worked his other degrees up to 10th degree black belt under Mr. Sawyer. We'll talk about that a little bit, but John actually did something pretty incredible. His first national win was against someone that was well-known blood and guts fighter, and that was Fred Wren out of St. Louis, and that was in 1974. And you got to remember also that he was on Chuck Norris's basically team, and he fought with all the greats. You know, one other thing about John that makes him very special, that he's Hawaiian. Well, most of you know that I'm Hawaiian, and there's a certain bond people have, and John and I certainly have that. So without any delay, I'd like to bring on Mr. John Nativitad. John, are you there, sir?
Aloha.
Aloha, brother.
I'm
How
here.
Are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm so glad. You sound good. You sound good. So
I'm alive.
Did you enjoy?
I'm doing good.
Yes, sir. Did you enjoy the haka that you saw on Facebook? I put up there. You see that?
Yeah,
that was pretty cool,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
I looked at that, and that brought a kind of tears to my eyes to be awarded that and to be recognized for all you've done.
Well, you know, it was an amazing event by Nick Chamberlain, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later with the letter that we wrote. But the Hawaiian flavor was definitely there. By the Hawaiians were there in force, and it was a very special, special event that Nick Chamberlain and Kimberly Jones and his incredible staff did. But, you know, let's talk about John Nitibhad, the Hawaiian. You know, when I first came here to the mainland, I had basically four heroes, and not any particular order. Ed Parker, Mike Stone, Sid Campbell, because I love Sid. I've been with Sid for a long time, and some guy named John Nitibhad. And, you know, Sid was the only one that wasn't Hawaiian, but he was an adopted Hawaiian. You know, he really was. He loved Hawaii. You know that. And but you were my hero because you had already come over to the mainland, and you had that, you know, everyone knew that Hawaii was your home and your aloha, but you became a great fighter, and you got the nickname the Giant Killer. Now, before we go into the tournament stuff, I'd like my listeners to understand where John Nitibhad started, who influenced you first, and when did you make black belt? Go ahead, John.
Well, I was I grew up in Hawaii, and I started I took a couple of Kempo lessons in Hawaii. Then I went to college in California. When I went to college there, I bumped into Wheeler Norris. Wheeler Norris was Chuck's brother. He played flag football. So I played football too. I met Chuck, and he invited me down to his studio. The funny part of about that was I didn't go down there. I had to go down there. There was a big rumble between Hawaiians and Mexicans in Redondo. So I ran around the park. I ran through some buildings, and I saw this building with a bunch of guys in pajamas, and I walked in. I sat down, and I watched them. And Chuck came over and closed the door. Locked it, I mean. He said, I know what you're doing. You can either sign up or fight my black belt. Of course, you know what happened. I signed up.
That's great.
I figured
what a story.
Yeah, I figured I signed up for about a year until I got my green belt, then I would quit because I never was good for completing anything.
Yes, sir.
I started with him. I got my first degree black belt from him. Chuck was more of an instructor, a mentor. He was he would check on me once in a while just to make sure I was working out and keeping out of trouble. I got first degree black belt. It was that?
No, go ahead. You said you got your first degree black belt when?
I had my first degree black belt in 73 from Chuck Norris. That's when we were doing, it was a 3.5-hour test.
Wow.
Physical test and a technical test. So while it was okay, but I took it as a workout because I used to work out every day for about 2 or 3 hours a day. That includes Sunday, too.
Of course. Got to go to church and also work out. Absolutely. You know, here's something that's really interesting, too, John, is that, you know, people see Mr. Norris as a super movie star, and he is. He's an incredible movie star and a figure for everyone to look up to. But what people don't really understand, unless they talk to me or they talk to people like you, that Mr. Norris is a pure martial artist, the kindness of a heart, the heart of also of a tiger, and he was a real karate instructor and a real champion. To prove that, he developed people like yourself. Now, you got to train with people like Bob Budridge, Darner Garcia, Howard Jackson, a whole group of guys from that era and that time. What was it like to train in that group of people?
It was fantastic. I mean, that studio that we came from, I mean, they had four or five guys that were rated in the top 10 of the fighters. I mean, we had some good, fantastic fighters.
Wow.
One of the other guys, my instructor, my immediate instructor was Jerry Taylor, and he was
a flying
guy. You know, so I was thinking, hey, you know, we go Hawaiian guys. We had the Ohana spirit. Plus, we love working out. You know, and working out at that studio at that time was a great time because all the champions, all the top caliber fighters, would come down to Chuck Norris studio. So we had a very rare chance of fighting all of them, being with all of them, training with all of them.
I heard a story that you guys used to also go to Tino Tugasalas, Lima Lama's school a lot and train. Did you guys remember Tino? And there was a lot of good fights there,
Tino,
too, all the guys that showed there. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but he used to, he was a great instructor and a great person, too. And it wasn't all fighting. It was more philosophy on top of that, too. I mean, great heart and, you know, like Ed Parker told me one time when I was coming up in the ranks, he looked at me and he pulled me aside. He said, you can be great, but you cannot if you don't open your parachute.
You don't expand your mind. Expand your level.
Right. Right.
Yes. Wisdom from a great man.
He was a great man, and he had a great philosophy, and he had a goodness about him, and he took everybody in. He took everybody in, and he was willing to teach them, no matter what.
Yes. Well, it was the Hawaiian warrior spirit within all of us that are Hawaiians, but also if you're passionate about something, you always give back. And we learned that from a very early age. Very early age.
Yeah.
Now, you have a patented technique, which was, I'll tell the story a little bit later, but it was a spinning wheel kick. Who taught that to you, and how did you develop to be so tough with it? I mean, it was just an amazing kick.
A guy named, one of my instructors named Mitch Yamashita. I was a green belt, he was a red belt, and he was showing me techniques that he was willing to try. That you know, that I was amazed at. I said, "Wow, that was a good technique. That was a good move." And I used to use it. I used to figure out if I add one new technique a week into my repertoire techniques, by the end of the year I would have 300 of them.
Yes.
You know, so I tried left and right side. You know.
You were so accurate with it. I remember the stories I've heard from other fighters and just watching. But I got to tell you the John the Tibbet Head moment. That's why I called it in the early 70s when I had a nightclub. I know you're laughing because it's a good story. Anyway, we had a nightclub. It's called the Electric Warehouse. And, you know, disco floor is immaculate. It's got to be waxed and polished all the time. And I used to make guys work out on Sunday, and we'd stack a chair so it'd be as high as our head. Put a set of a cup of beer and then put an empty cup on top of that. They had to do the wheel kick and knock the top cup off. If they knocked the beer off, they had to stop and mop up the floor. And one day I remember making those guys mop the floor about 14 times. And then finally one guy said, "Who in the hell is this John the Tibbet Head?" And I said, you don't want to find out. Trust me, just do the technique. That was a long time ago. But
yeah,
I idolized you back then.
I
still do.
Yeah, I used to work on that for hours on end. Hours on end.
Yes, sir. Now, who was your favorite fight, your best win? I mentioned it a little bit in the opening, but it was against Fred Wren at the Long Beach Internationals, correct? That was your first win?
Well, Fred Wren at the Long Beach Team Championships at Elks Lodge. And Mike Stone's Mike Stone's event. He's got all the top teams together. So I got
cool.
To,
was that before equipment or after equipment? Was that before equipment or after equipment?
Before equipment. It was blood
yes,
and
sir,
guts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I saw Fred Wren fight one time. You know, I knew this guy was tough. He would pick you up like a rag doll and move you around.
Yeah, he's Texas tough.
So I figured out. Yeah, I figured out that I'd better do something quick and hard.
Now
you
beat him. How'd you beat him? What'd you hit him with?
Had right hand, left hand reverse punch, a round kick, spinning round kick, double round kick, and a spinning back kick.
All right.
I called him
cool.
Plus spinning back kick. You know, I beat him, I think it was 5-1.
Wow. And now
that was the most exciting part of it, because I knew he was rated in the top 10.
Yes, sir.
He was a great fighter too. It was a good good fighter, good hard fighter.
Yes, he was. And he's from Texas.
Yeah, you know which rib he hit.
Yes, sir. You know, you remember it well, right? Cool.
Yeah,
Now, you also had a legendary fight with Benny Akitas, which is one of the most talked about fights in the history of sport karate. It was the longest overtime that ever went in a point match. And I want you to kind of tell me about that a little bit, please, about that legendary fight.
Well, you know, I thank Benny for giving me a chance to fight him. And before that time, they don't realize that I fought him 3-4 times before, and he beat me 3-4 times before. And whenever we fought at the internationals, we sort of climaxed. I mean, he won all his fights in his division. I won all my fights in my division, and we happened to meet together. You know, he had a lot of techniques and a lot of moves going forward. You know, I figured out if I could be as quick with as fast as he could, as he was, I could match him. Because Benny was fast. He was really fast and he had a lot of techniques. You know, they went into two overtime. Mr. Park called the first time, and he showed that the score was 13-13. Then we went into the second overtime. It was sudden death. So he made a move. Benny made a move. I did a step aside and a ridge hand, something that he taught me 2 or 3 weeks before that, before the internationals. We used to work out together, all of us. We used to have Southern California professional karate with Mike Stone. Guys like Sammy Pace, Craig Smith from the BKF, Steve Fisher, me, Darnell Garcia, Bob Burbage, Howard Jackson. You know, all those top fighters. And if you came in slow, you got the hell beat out of you. Yeah, you did.
I know, sir.
You know, you didn't dare go out and have a drinking party the night before, because these guys wouldn't give you a quarter. They would just realize, hey, he's just getting over from a hangover. Well, let's beat the shit out of him.
So it's not only was a tribulation for you, but it was fun. You had a good time, absolutely.
Yeah. It wasn't a lot of this ego thing that goes out, you know, nowadays. You know, we hit each other hard. Sometimes we bloodied up the nose and mouth, but we stepped back and we shook hands and we had a beer afterwards.
Absolutely.
You know, after Benning, after the second or third time after Benning and I fought, his family invited me to come and have something to eat with them in the bleachers. You know, I mean, I sit back and I look at that. They were not only friendly, but they were good people.
Yes, sir. John, I'm going to shake your memory a little bit and parts unknown for my listeners. Do you remember the wooden room? It was a building behind Tat Kabuta School that had no windows and the fan.
Right.
Remember that? And it had nothing but benches in it and sledgehammers and bloody tiles. Well, I went there by accident. I was looking for Bonzo Han's studio. I ended up at Master Kabuto's studio. And I walked back there, and that's where I met Alfred Yekutis, Ruby Yekutis, Arnold Yekutis, and Benny. That's where I actually met them. And Lily was there, too.
And
I never forget, when Tat Kabuta walked in, he went down, everyone stood up, of course. And I believe a gentleman named Tony Toners was there. Tony Toners?
Yeah.
He was there also. Anyway, Mr. Kabuta took a sledgehammer, and this is a true story to my listeners. He would take it and start beating his shins and beating his feet and beating his knuckles and beating his wrist and beating his elbow with that sledgehammer. It was the most awesome thing I ever saw. And that was amazing times for me as a kid watching that. And most people think if I tell that story, I'm not really told it publicly, I'm making it up, but I'm thinking because you remember that room. There was no windows. One fan that didn't work. You know? John, I'll ask you one other thing, too. Working out with Mr. Norris and being a black belt under him, what's it been like? Because, you know, he's such a credible person, and I want to let the listeners know how good an instructor he was. Did he talk to you personally? Did he take you personally? Tell me how Chuck Norris affected your life. And you also mentioned earlier that Willie, who we lost in Vietnam, but he's got another brother named Aaron Norris, who became a great director and started out as a bodyguard and stuff. But tell me how Mr. Norris, as an instructor, what he did for you.
Well, he was there every time. He made his workouts. He was fighting for Henry Toth's tournament. He was fighting all over the country, and he would watch us do our workouts. I remember I had a good snapping sidekick. I mean, a sidekick could probably was better. It was good as Skipper Mullins. And Chuck came up to me and watched me do the kicks. And he told me it was wrong. This is the way you got to do it. You know, so I had to do it all over again. Took a few years to get to that point. He was there and he watched me grow. And he helped me grow. He helped me get to be to be that person. He goes, he was one of those, if you can take all abuse and yelling and screaming and the pain there is in being a karate man or a martial artist, you can do anything in the world. You just have to make up your mind. You know, so he was there watching over me as I was growing up. I mean, he was, like I said, more of a mentor.
Well, that's pretty incredible. Go ahead,
People used to ask me, how was his punches or how was his kick? Let me tell you, he did not initialize them. He broke through them. That's how quick he was. He was quick and he was a good hard part. No matter where he hit you, you felt it. And I used to watch him fight. When I watched him in the Long Beach. So quick, so movement, and he knew what he was going to do, and he knew how he was going to do it. And he knew how he was going to get that point or beat that guy.
Yes, sir. He was,
you know,
he really was an amazing fighter. He really was.
Yeah, he was.
I'm glad he became a hero to everybody. You know?
Yeah, he did.
I really did, because if anybody should have been a hero, it definitely should have been Chuck Norris. But I say something for the show, John, to share with you. And you got to think back a long, long time ago. I want to say 1974, and it's in Ohio. And it was at the first United Fighting Arts Fighting Championship. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And you were one of the judges. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story that you never knew, and I've been saving it just for the show. So I'm going to talk real slow, but here's the truth.
You're going to trick me. You're going to trick me.
No, I'm not going to trick you. I'm going to tell you a love story. Bob Wall told me to hitchhike out to Ohio because Chuck was having his very first United Fighting Arts tournament. And I'm 16 years old, I think, or 17. And I don't know how far it is to Ohio, but I hitchhike literally from California to Ohio, and I've never seen snow before. I didn't have a pair of socks. You know, I just had my karate stuff. I end up getting there at 10:30 in the morning, 30 minutes after he lined up Kata that day. And I sent a note down to security. I was going nuts. And finally, security gave it to Mr. Norris, and Mr. Norris looked at the note, and he said, "My name is Gary Lee. Bob Wall sent me here. I hitchhiked from California. I just want to fight, sir. And I want to do kata. Can I still enter, please?" And he changed my life because he looked up at me and he went, "Come down, come down." So I changed clothes, put my gi on, and it was all Tang Sido people. And here were the judges: John Natividad, Leo Fong, Ted Vollerith, Aaron Norris, and Chuck Norris. And I won third place that day in kata, and I still have that hologram. The hologram trophy. I don't know if you remember that or not, the hologram trophies. And then I took third place that day in fighting, and it had snowed that day, right? And I'd never seen snow before. So I spent the night in the Greyhound bus station. So I could see the snow the next morning and see what it was like. And finally, Bob sent me money.
How were you dressed?
I was dressed in shorts and I was dressed crazy, you know, but Bob sent me money from the bus fare and I got to ride the Greyhound bus back home to California. But you were the one of the judges that day. And I took third place out of all those Tank Tito guys. And I took third place in fighting. And here's the kicker. When people come into my office, they see all the trophies and whatever, but they see these old battered, beat up hologram black trophies. And they go, "Where are those from, Mr. Lee?" And I have to tell them the story about Chuck Norris, John Natividad, Aaron Norris, Leo Fong, and God bless and rest in peace, Ted Vollerith. And that was a long time ago, John, but you helped change my life, man. That third place changed my life. You know? So
that's all going
cool
40
stuff.
Years ago, Gary.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though.
Yeah.
But, you know,
the first time I saw snow, me and Ralph Elgrill, we got on a plane. One day we went out to Denver to fight in the Denver tournament. We got off the plane. I had flip-flops and shorts on and a T-shirt, Hawaiian T-shirt.
Yeah.
And Ralph had sneakers on, shorts, and a warm-up jacket. Then suddenly we go, "This is snow, man. This is cold."
Hey, what about that famous picture with Howard Jackson, Mike Stone, Ralph Algeria, Golly Bum? There's a whole bunch of you guys in there. Bob Burdridge.
That was the team that went to Hawaii to fight the Hawaii versus mainland team.
Oh, tell me about that fight before I go to my break. Yeah, tell me about that fight.
Oh, that was You know how the Hawaiian guys always saying in the mainland guys can fight?
Right.
We
right.
had some of the fastest and toughest guys on the team. You know, Steve Saunders beat this guy. Steve Muhammad Saunders hit this guy. It was 15-1. Howard Jackson did a jumping spinning back kick above this guy's head.
Yeah.
Bob Burridge did a sweep, swept this guy down. He was known for his sweeps. Now the Costco's was smooth and fast. You know, Kung Fu guy, I used to watch him and see it smooth and fast.
I got to spend all weekend with him this weekend. All weekend long I was with him. Great guy.
Yeah, and Cecil Peoples.
Yeah.
It was the same way with Quick. Quick and hit you on the blink of an eye. It was hard, too. Hard hitting. And then
John,
Ralph fought.
Go ahead.
Ralph fought that guy, Martin Buell.
Martin Buell from Hawaii, yes.
Yeah. He fought Martin Buell that knocked Jerry Taylor out the year before.
Oh, wow.
That's
pretty
times,
cool.
Man.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, John, I'm going to take a commercial break here, and then I'm going to come back and stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. And we're going to play the Legends Name Game, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so stay on the line, and just I'll be back
here
in just a few minutes. Thank you, little brother. Hey, we're spending time with John the Tibberhead, better known as the Giant Killer. What a great first part interview with a great champion. This guy is just not only a hero to many in the sport karate community, but a very personal friend and hero to the radio station, to myself. I'd like to talk about and recap a great event that we happened this weekend by John, are you there? You need to get the John.
I'm here.
John. Yeah, the microphone is doing back feed. Can you get away from the microphone? So I got backlash on it. It's making noise.
Okay.
Back off a little bit. Here we go. Thank you, buddy. Okay, I'd like to talk about this weekend, about actually read a letter to the History Generals and to the Karate Angels in the Sky. And this is about this weekend. What a great weekend in Dallas, Texas. Induction into the Kempo International Black Belt Hall of Fame and the Gathering of Eagles for the Sport Karate Museum Archives. I love you deeply, and I thank you so much, Mikey Rowe Moore, for the personal gift and the sponsorship and your love and wisdom. And that is Cynthia Rothrock and not Karen Shepherd on the cover. Dana, Neil Harden, I thank you so much for not leaving my side and sharing with me till 2 o'clock in the morning. Mr. Kerbin, thank you for staying with me for those 2 hours talking about Kata Wars and what we're going to do in September. Mr. Alan Steen and Mr. Mike Stone for being there and being one of the first history generals to take a position and always being there with his wisdom and their wisdom together. Dr. Keith D. Yates for the design of the logo and from the heart sharing with me his wisdom and his honor and his attitude toward martial arts. Mr. James Cott, Mr. Donald Lawson, Mrs. Lawson, Cliff Delahaye, Steve Selby, John Sepulveda, William Shelton, Al DeCastis, Kirby Roy, Kevin Roy, Kempo Joe, alias Joe Ribello. I love hustling Mikey Real Moore and betting $100 for one of my books. Shame on me, shame on you. Ishmael Robles, man, thank you for allowing me to be a real part of the Texas through his friendship. And his beautiful sidekick, Cheryl Kowalski, who is a Texas toughie together. They were there to see the Aloha. Very special Texas martial artist. Mr. Mike Diller from Century Martial Arts, thank you for sharing with me and hanging out with me, and your friendship is irreplaceable. I appreciate it so much. Ted Summer, for the challenge coin and building the family tree. What a great job you did for that. Mark Tracy and your dad, Al Tracy, God bless you guys. Thank you for the Tracy system. It's nasty, Steve Anderson. Thank you for deciding finally to become a history general for the Sport Karate Museum. All my love to Jefferson Davis, Rich Stanford, Bill Ambrosia, Kellen the Worker, David the Animal, and sit through Bill Staley. What a special man. And the Bad Boys of Dallas, the Bodyguard Service, and the Consolidated Close Protection International to make sure that I was safe all weekend. Yes, they were all dangerous, and they were ready for anything. Sensei Jim Webb with me at 2 o'clock in the morning and talking to me about the memory of Sensei Carl Geis. Rest in peace. Mr. Jeff Dunn for being the champion he is and the Rainmaker Software. Goldie Mac, I love you, Goldie Mac, for taking care of me for those 2 days. All the Hawaiian brothers and the little sisters for the personal haku ritual and the personal touch and love and mahalo you gave Nick Chamberlain and the incredible guy who helped put this together. Michelle Manu for the tears we shared, sharing the aloha and the home. The incredible staff of the Chamberlain Studios for treating me as family and someone very special. And the host, Dr. Kimberly Jones and Dr. Nick Chamberlain for bringing me into their personal family. Always thanking Tammy Sanders Lee, my partner in life, believing in my dreams. I love my son, Garrett Lee, for being who he is. And Sheehan Darling McPherson Pagels and Mark Pagels for sponsoring the adventure and her also being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Mahalo, History Generals and Karate Angels from the Festival of Kings in the Kipo International Hall of Fame. Well, you know, that was a great event. And the event that's coming up here in September the 29th and 30th is an event that's going to kind of hit America by storm. It's called Kata Wars, and we're introducing quite a few different things. Bubble Kumite, this is for 10 years old, it's 7 to 5 and 5 to 4. No equipment is needed, just a uniform. Two bubble machines are hooked up, two judges with clickers, center referee. All the judges are kid-oriented. For instance, Billy Smith, Jamie Cashin, Rooster Mackin, Steve Parks, just to name a few of the guys who volunteered to work the Bubble Kumite for the kids. And then they face each other, bow to each other, bow to the center, face the bubble machine. The bubble machine goes on, and you've got 50 bubbles coming out in 1 second. And as many bubbles as they can break with good karate technique, they get a click for every one. If the ki behind the click, biah, 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 they get 2 clicks. The fighter with the most clicks at the end of 1 minute moves up, like I said, fighting. The grand championship will be done at the finals Saturday night at the Living Legends Roast of George Minshew. Of course, we got Kata Wars, the open tournament for everyone. And if you'd like to go to Kata Wars and join it, go to www.myuventix.com. And that's MYUVENTIX.com. And you can register for Kata Wars there. The interesting part about Kata Wars is that it was devised and together with the wisdom of Mr. Kerbin and Sport Karate Museum and Sheehan Darling McPherson. And together, what we've done is created a pro division, which will start at 1 o'clock. And this will be, something really unique and special. All these competitors that we've chosen are either grand champions from the tournaments of past this year, or handpicked from the museum as wild cards. All of them have won hundreds of first places and never been competed against each other through either time or elements of sanctioning, egos even, age, styles, but they'll be together for Kata Wars. Judged by the best judges, we've asked people like John Chung, Dale Kirby Sr., Dr. Steve Powell, Ralph Josky, Karen Slatcher, Jerry Pittington, all top kata performers in the time when they were competing. And they'll be judging these competitors at the Kata Wars. And the finals will be that night at the amazing roast of George Minshew. Speaking of George Minshew, this has been really a hard work putting this together. But, you know, Mr. Minshew is worth every moment. He's been a joy in my life. And to roast him in front of the world and to have the people come to roast him is going to be a lot of fun. For tickets, please call 713-483-0476. For more information, just go to the Facebook page, type in 25th anniversary of the Living Legends, and you'll find out information that deals with Kata Wars. If you'd like to find more about the museum, please go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org. That's sportkaratemuseum.org, and you can read the first page and you can understand our mission statement. one last motion of interest is August the 26th. We'll be honoring Jack Wong's Karate Memorial Day, and that will be done in Oklahoma City. For more information, you can call directly 713-483-0476. The people that love Jack Wong will be gathered in Oklahoma City to pay tribute to this great karate legend. So, well, with that said, I'd like to bring back on Mr. John Tibbethead, and I hope that this feedback is not bothering people. I can hear it. And, John, are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Okay, I don't know where that feedback is. Yeah, it's gone now. I guess you're jinxed. Is it still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we get real nice or something. The Karate Angels will take care of it and kill the echo. And I apologize to the listeners. We're always improving on this radio show. And, you know, Hachi Bowen does an excellent job of producing it. Well, I got to give credit to Hachi Bowen. He's my producer. He makes sure it runs smooth. And like I said, I'm sure I'll be talking about this feedback, but we got to work on it. But anyway, let's go to play the Legends Name Game. For the listeners listening for the first time, this is a simple game that we do with the Legends and Pioneers. I say one name, and they have 2 minutes or less to respond to that name. And just tell me how you feel about that person, maybe how that person influenced your life, or if you don't like that person. That's really up to you. This part's unknown. No holds barred. So, John, are you ready to play the Legends Name Game?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, the very first one, I'm going to start with the lady of the night, Miss Mikey Rowe Moore.
Oh, I love her. She's a terrific lady, and she's backing up what she has and what she did, and she's going around and letting people know who she is or helping out with the karate world, getting them promoted, getting them knowledgeable about the museum, about what she's doing.
But how good a fighter was she back then? Back then in the day, how good a fighter was Mikey Rowe Moore? And before you answer that, I know, and I've got history proof, that she was the first five women rated ever in sport karate. She's one of the top five. But you tell me how good she was, please.
She was in the top notch. She was in the top, I'd say it's the top five. She could hit you and hit you hard. I remember Howard Jackson and Bob Burbage telling me, you know, how come she hit me so hard? I said, because she doesn't like you guys. How come she didn't hit you so hard? Because she loves me.
That's cool. Well, you know, You know
she's
we're going to be seeing you here. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know we're going to be seeing you here in September at Kata Wars here in September. And I understand that the women are fighting over who's going to sit next to you. You were a ladies' man back then.
Yeah, back then, you know, I had the Hawaiian smile.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay, here's another name for you. Howard Jackson. Rest in peace. But Howard Jackson, talk about Howard.
Oh, he was my brother. I mean, we go to Hawaii. He was in Hawaii. My mother would give him a key and tell him, you know, you come and go as you want. You know, I'm not going to watch over you. You know,
right.
Every time Howard would come and see me, I'd tell him to clap his hands. He looked at me and said, why? I said, Howard, you never clap my hands so you don't take any. We used to have a great love for each other. I remember one time he had a round kick upside my head, nobody called it. I said, he looked at me and said, nobody called that point. I said, oh, you're too fast. He goes, slow it down so they see it.
Well, he was called the Flash. He was called the Flash. That was his nickname. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he actually invented the Blitz. He invented the Blitz to close the gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the only guy I know. He was the only guy I could see that could beat to get to Bill Wallace before he could throw his kit.
Yes. Yep. That's pretty incredible right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Mike Stone?
I wouldn't mess with him. That's the horn animal.
Yes.
You know.
We love you, Mike. If you're listening, we love you, Mike.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember he told me a story when I was coming up. He said,
Tell me.
He said, when you go into a tournament, you ask the guy how much he paid. Yeah, those days it was $5 or $7.
Right.
And Mike said, Master Stone said, that's all you're gonna pay for me to beat you? You know, $5 or $7? I mean, he used to hit you hard and you move. I mean, there's something about him, you could see him. He had the honor spirit, plus he had the goodness of, he had the fire Pele with him.
Well, you know, he was the very first person I called when I created the idea of the Sport Karate Museum, and he came for the grand opening and cut the ribbon. So I'm very honored that he's a big part of my life and the Sport Karate Museum.
Here
we go. Yes, he's my hero, without a doubt. Okay, I got another one for you, little brother. Jerry Piddington.
Smoothness and smile. The guy would kick you upside the head and smile at you. That's where I got that from. He had this movements about him to mesmerize me. I mean, he could move around. For such a big guy, he could move around. You know, like you could tell. Somebody could tell you about Gil Sayers when you watch him run, how magic he was.
Right.
That's Jerry Pennington. Jerry Pennington had that movement of his. He could, as big as he was smooth, and he had good abilities, and he could hit you hard too. Loved him, that guy. He's close to me.
Yeah, he's going to be down in Houston. You guys are going to get to sit with each other. I can't wait to get between these you guys and ask you stories. You know, that's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, the last time we were in Houston, I didn't leave your side. I made you sit beside me at the head table. Everybody was wondering who in the hell those two Hawaiian boys were. And
yeah.
You know. So. Okay, I got another one for you. Bob Burdridge, people don't really know who he was, but I do. And he was a tough, tough, tough fighter. And he used to sweep people up.
Yeah,
tell
he was
your,
a
Bob
tough
Burdridge.
Fighter. He was called the sweeper. He could sweep you down on a blink of an eye. I remember when I first met Bob Burdridge, I did a slide-up round kick. I hit him upside the head. And I looked at him and I said, was that fast enough? He goes, yeah, that was pretty fast. The next move, we met together, he swept me, punched me, and grabbed a hold of me before I hit the ground.
Wow.
He said,
that's
he
cool.
said, was that close enough? Since that time, we got to be close friends. I looked at him. I tell you one joke. When we went to Hawaii to fight, Bob asked me, he said, how do you say Bob in Hawaiian? I said, that's easy, Bob. Just add another O in the middle. Bob
Boop.
Said, Boop.
That's funny. Oh, that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh.
He asked me, now, he asked me, Bob Burbage. Asked me, how come you want me to go swim with you all the time? The tip of that, I said, you don't know the story. He goes, no, I don't know the story. He said, Hawaiians always ask a white guy to swim with him out in the ocean. Because sharks, everything is reflective. Sharks hit the white guy first before they hit the Hawaiian guy.
Right. Yeah. That's great. Oh, God. You're making me laugh. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, God. Okay. Hey, I got another one for you. You talked about him earlier, but I want to emphasize how great he was. Mr. Ed Parker. Rest in peace, sir.
He was not only a great instructor, he was a teacher, he was a philosopher, and he had an open heart. He had a gold heart. He didn't know if you hadn't wanted knowledge to learn, not to use it, to learn it. He was one of those guys that, you know, I don't care if you know 1,000 techniques. It's one technique you do 1,000 times that's going to impress me.
Yes, sir.
You know, he told me, he said, you do that round kick? Yeah. He said, you do it 1,000 times. That'll make you realize what you're doing with it. Yeah, he was there. He was a man after my own heart, and I cried a couple of days when he passed away. I didn't get a chance to, you know, when you saw him, I held him, hold him, and he was there. Him and my other close mentor was Tino, Tula Sego.
Yes.
I mean,
Lima Lama.
He took me in his, he took me in his arms, and he said, "You just remember that where you're from.
Amen.
You're an island boy."
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah. I told him, he asked a joke. It was a joke. I told him, I said, Master Tino. He goes, I said, you know what's more worse than a Hawaiian guy? He goes, what?
He goes, what?
I go, I'm Samoan. He looked at me and he said, you're not Samoan? I go, I know I'm not. But I like to kid him. I used to go down to his place and work out with Rudy and all his sons. They gave me the house. They respected me and they loved me, and you know, I couldn't ask for it. It wasn't all the fights. It was the camaraderie we had. It was the ohana that we had.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, you know, I've got to ask you a question from the museum level. You got to experience the Living Legends a few years back, and you got to experience what I do with the Living Legends. And you know me, if I could get a roasted pig and banana leaves in that hotel, I would. But it's the closest thing to ohana I can do. How good a time did you have, and did you get to see a lot of your old friends?
I'm going to be there 3 or 4 days. I'm going to see all my old friends, all the guys that have a good place in my heart, like Roy Kirvin, Gentleman Roy.
Yes.
Judge Roy Kirvin. I mean, he's such a super, super gentleman, you know.
Mr. Harrison.
Miss Jim Harrison. I mean, he was like an idol to me. He was the toughest guy that I saw out there.
Yes.
I said, I mean, there's a man that took his art seriously. And then Byung-Yu was really one of those guys that, you know, that taught you a lot of things and knew it could be done. I mean, he did a jumping hooky hook kick that was surprisingly that was out of this world.
Well, John, let me ask you a direct question. What's it like being a history general for the Sport Karate Museum? What's it like being a history general for the Sport Karate Museum? And how do you feel about that?
Well, it looks like it's a good thing you get to watch who's coming in, who's going out. You get to be part of history. You get to be part of its growth. You get to be part of it, of what it is, what it's going to be. And do I like it? Yes, I do. You know, I like my history. I like what developed into it. I like all those guys that put a lot of time into it. And it wasn't all flash. It was good hard work. And your knowledge doesn't come by fighting only, like Ed Parker said. It comes from asking questions and watching them, watching your opponent do. You cannot fight a person unless you know him. Just like, what did they say? General Patton read that book. You cannot know him unless you know what he's thinking.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I like it. I get to see what you're doing, and I want to be part of it.
Well, you are a part of it, John, a big part of it. And, you know, in my heart, I always will have Ohana, and Hawaii will always be there. And that's the reason why I believe the living legends and also my faith has made it to be so strong. And to have this year come to an end, not only Rose George Minshew, who has been a mentor and friend for so many years, but to bring all you gentlemen together and sisters and share that Ohana is really big exciting. Now, the museum is honoring you with a John the Tibbethead Natural Dragon Image Fighting Award. And you've handpicked a couple people to receive that. And that's in the image of how you fought, your heart, your attitude. And you chose a couple people that I know, of course. But one person I wanted to talk about was Rob Mancini. Tell me about Rob a little bit.
Rob Mancini has been with me for 40-something years. He's been my instructor, chief instructor, master instructor. He was one of those that had the loyalty in the heart to be by my side and to understand what technique I was doing, what I was saying to him, and how I was doing. You know, I mean, he took it to heart. And he's one of those people that has a golden heart, that has the knowledge to learn, the ability to learn and take that knowledge and develop it into something that could pass on to students. It's not only fighting. It's knowing how to do it. It's doing it 1,000 times. It's realizing what's behind the technique. It's realizing how many 1,000 years that technique was developed. You know, so he's a good martial artist. He's a kung fu master and a samurai master.
So that's pretty good. It'll behoove me.
That's why I want to bring you two together, because, you know, he can learn a lot from you. He knows what you have. I tell him of all the things that you, what you dream of, what you did. I basically tell him, I said, there's only a very few Hawaiian guys that made it big. And Gary had the dream. He made the vision come true. He made it come true. He took it upon himself. He didn't care what the naysayers said.
Thank you.
He did it himself.
Well, I had the love of you, John. You've been with me for a long time.
I'm just glad that, you know, I'm there in the shadows. I'm there for you.
Oh, you're not in the shadows. You're a leader. You're leading the pack, brother. Believe me. People that love you around the world, but in the United States, it's for the sport karate community. You mentioned John the Tibbethead, or you mentioned the Giant Killer. People smile, and not because you have that Hawaiian smile, but because they know that you were a great, great competitor and that you love what you did. And you entertained us with good karate technique back in the time before equipment,
before
it became tag. And you don't know what a joy this is to be able to talk to my hero when all these years I have to say this because listeners don't really understand. When you're from Hawaii, a lot of times I would go down to the ocean's edge and I'd look over and I could see the mainland. only from the books that I saw at a drugstore or in a store. And I'd see the skyscrapers and the cars and the hustle and bustle and never dreamed that
right.
it'd be what it was. And you felt the same way because growing up in Hawaii, it's a different culture. But the mainland, it changes you, but you always have Hawaii in your heart. And that's what makes you so special to me. So, you know, I really enjoyed tonight, John. It was very special. And, you know, we've got some upcoming great interviews. I just want to share with you. I got Bear Lobby on the 22nd of August. 29th, we're going to have our artifact show. We're going to talk about all the neat things that have been donated to the Sport Karate Museum, incredible items. And then I've got the great writer, Karen Eden Herden from Taekwondo Times. She's my special guest. And then that's on the 5th of September. And the 19th, the one and only world champion, Troy Dorsey and Dan McDonald. So I'm really excited about the upcoming shows. Yes, sir. And you're going to be able to see Troy Dorsey, Ishmael Robles, and Gotham Tabaris test for their 9th-degree black belt at the Living Legends 25th anniversary roast. Mr. Kerman is going to lead that test. And Mr. Burleson will be there, and he'll be tying the belt, the 6th-degree black belt, around Mikey Rowe Moore and Jim Miller. And I would like to personally ask you publicly on the air that you'd be up there with me to present that belt to Mikey Rowe Moore for his 6th-degree black belt. And that'd be Friday.
I would love that. Yeah, I would love that.
And because Mikey's a hoot, we say this in Texas.
Yeah.
She's got sand, you know. She's got sand.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's listening right now. She's on her way to Oregon to spend her birthday with Jerry Pennington. So to Dana and Mikey, John and I love you, and we're looking forward to seeing you in September. And you know, if it wasn't for Mikey, I probably wouldn't have got this interview because she was very persistent on doing the interview with you and getting it done. So thank you, Mikey, for helping me set up through John and I to make this happen. John, now you teach weekly now or once a month? What's your classes like?
I teach three times a week. I have one. I had 2-hour sparring class, and I teach them the old school way. You know, if you're going to do a back knuckle and you're going to do it with speed, you can do it one time. The second time, you got to hit that guy so hard that he doesn't raise that arm up.
Right.
You know,
that is awesome.
You know, I had my guys, my instructors teach the old school way, but they have to learn. They have to learn what comes in with that Ohana spirit. Learn to come with respect. They had to learn that you don't be a bogadacious and braggart, but you show by humility and humbleness. I said,
yes,
you know, in the old days, in the art, they taught you so many ways to do things. The first thing you did was clean the studio. That taught
Amen.
Humility and humbleness. You know, then there were lessons throughout. You know, a black belt isn't just a workout. Just so you could have physically work out, you had to have subjects like philosophy, psychology. You had to know what they were. You had to reason. You know, like the art of war. You know, there was things you had to learn. You know, you just couldn't do it. You had to learn them.
Hey, John.
You know.
John, can I share something with you, bro?
Yeah.
I've cleaned more toilets and swept more dojos than anybody in the world. I could be a world champion in cleaning toilets and sweeping dojos floors. Because I understand what the humbleness is and understanding what it's like to walk into an unfriendly dojo. But you know what got me in every dojo in America and some of the master instructors that I've got to touch in my life and touch me is that they can't fake Japanese kata. You know, people can fake a lot of things, but real Japanese kata, you can't fake it. And I would go in a corner and I'd run, you know, Jihan, Unsu, kakudai or something crazy that was pure Japanese or Okinawan kata, and people would see it was real kata dough. So, yeah, lots of floors swept and lots of toilets cleaned. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
John, if someone wants to contact... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nobody wants to give that entitlement to the younger generation.
Yes,
they got to work. They got to understand that years before, thousands of years before, they get to be where they're at right now because we followed suit, because we did what they did.
Yes,
you know? So, and we did it because we loved it. Not because we wanted to show it off.
Well, you're absolutely right, John. Hey, if someone wants to get in contact with you in Vegas, how would they get in contact with you? Through your website or your phone number? Would you like to share that with us?
Yeah, to my website, there's the school number there, and the Oral Rob Mancini is the number up there on the website.
Very good. And they also contact you through Facebook also, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, this will be podcast and probably be on tomorrow morning's show, and then it'll be put in the archives. Mr. Bowen is doing an excellent job of putting things of these interviews in the archives, so you'll always be there. So anybody who didn't listen tonight, they can go to the AMAA radio show, the 24/7 radio channel that Master Bowen has, and they can look up your interview and all the other interviews that we've done. Well, John, with that said, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And for anybody who would like to get in contact with me to get in contact with John, please go to www.sportcardmuseum.org. Or call me at 713-483-0476 for more information on the Sport Crowder Museum and how you can help and support it. Hunty Jesse Bowen, are you on the line, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
I want to thank you for all what you're doing for me, Jesse.
You guys are welcome.
Gary?
It's an honor.
Yes, sir.
Gary, you're my inspiration. You know, you made a dream. You know that we have our minds to carry on. I love you, man, and I admire
you. I love you and admire you, sir. Mahalo. Much mahalo.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Hachi Bowen.
Mahalo.
What an incredible. Mahalo, brother. Hachi Bowen.
Yes, sir.
Very, very emotional interview tonight, as you know. Always when I talk about Hawaii, but, you know, like he said, thank you for what you do and help producing this show to make it out to the listeners and, you know, educating and protecting the history one warrior at a time. I always like, officially now, since we're into the first year coming up, I always like to do the segment at the end of the show where Hachi Jesse Bowen, you share wisdom with us on some of the things you're going to do. Before you do, I want everyone to know that Hachi Bowen is going to be doing the only business seminar at Kata Wars this year. He's the first one to open up the Jim Harrison Tribute Day on Friday, September the 29th. But Hachi Bowen, thank you again for being a producer. Go ahead and share with my listeners a little bit of your tremendous wisdom.
Okay, thank you, sir. Well, you know, when we think about wisdom, I love that word because – you know, in order for us to make change in the martial arts and help, you know, the students of the 21st century, that's what we have to really help them to do is how to be able to get wisdom. And sometimes it's very difficult if we're just sharing the technique. So my push this upcoming year for 2018 is to introduce and certify people to teach mindfulness classes and meditation classes in their schools. One of the programs I set up for Duke University was their Zen Mind Body mindfulness course. And so we're taking this course since I retired now. And so I'm offering it to martial arts schools because, you know, this is the next era that we're going to be working from. And that's going to be about the inner art. You know, look at the television commercials. How many times did you see yoga in a commercial? So this is what's going to be happening in the future. you know, inner art is going to lead. You see school kids now doing meditation. Instead of detention, they've got meditation mindfulness classes trying to help people to, kids to be able to be in that sense of control. This is great for families to do. Mom and dad may not decide to do the martial arts, but they would love to be do something together, a mindfulness class. So this is my vision that I really see the future as being. And again, you know, Time Magazine, they've done several articles. They donated a whole book, a magazine, just about mindfulness and about meditation. And so this will be the next thing. And then, you know, so we want to find for those people that are ready to open the door and really reach people, because as martial artists, you know, we're always teaching someone from the outside in. But now if we apply mindfulness classes, we can learn, that a student can learn from the inside out. And now you're being very effective. So, you know, that's what we're going to be down in Texas. It's going to be the launch of the instructor certification course. People will be have a chance, you know, to discover what we're talking about, getting a chance to feel what we're talking about, truly believe that this is the next evolution that we're going to have for the martial arts. And if it's going to be the next evolution for the martial arts, is preparing for it when it comes, that we, as martial artists, we will be already prepared for it.
Oh, that's very exciting that you're going to introduce that down at the Living Legends 25th anniversary. Now, if someone wants to get in contact with you and learn more about it, how would they directly get in contact with you? Through your website or through the phone number? And share with that how they would get in contact with you.
Okay, well, they can always give me a call at 919-618-8075. Or they can check it out on the website, and that is Zen Mind Body Meditation for Martial Arts .com. That's Zen Mind Body Meditation for Martial Arts .com.
Well, that's I thank you for sharing that with us. And again, Hachi Bowen, I appreciate you help making this show possible through your production. And shout outs, of course, to Mr. Corley for helping you put that book together, which is ongoing for everybody who wants to participate. And with that said, I wish everybody a good night and much mahalo. We'll see you in Kata Wars, September 29th and 30th in Houston, Texas. And aloha. See you Tuesday night with Bear Lobie.